Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in on this Friday. Oh man, we are so excited to be here on a Friday, bringing you some football breakdowns for the weekend. We've got a huge weekend in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I am Kelly Gramlich. He is Eric McLean. This is Gramlich and McLean. We are so excited to be here. Mac, what is up?
Kelly, this is Separation Saturday. There are so many good games. People better be jacked up. It's Friday. Let's go. It's Friday morning, and I cannot wait to watch these games. It's a ton of excitement, a lot of good matchups.
There's no doubt. And we do have to say a few things before we jump into some of these games. First of all, if you have listened to our first two episodes, thank you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We've had some good feedback, but we want to keep it going. So we are very thankful to you guys. And on Apple Podcasts, please rate, review, and subscribe to Gramlich and McLean. And it really helps us out if you subscribe. You actually get episodes earlier than other people. I have recently discovered this through the process of getting a podcast on Apple Podcasts. So please rate, review, and subscribe down there. And Mac, tell us a little more about, if you're listening to us this morning, you might notice a new and improved graphic look that
we have. Some better artwork, man. It was funny because you and I mean, we threw this thing together so fast because we wanted to take advantage of this week. I mean, it's such a big week and we're just like, hey, whatever we can put together, your Photoshop skills were tremendous. You got us off the ground.
But we got us off the ground.
We got super fancy really quick. So if you guys have been paying attention, our boy Wyndham, who used to work with each of us, you know, we both have worked with him in kind of the corporate world, and he's an artist, and he did a fantastic job. So it's kind of like Disney meets the ACC network, Mac and Kelly style, and there we are. So one day when Kelly blows up and we're in a movie and she gets me in it too, those are what our characters are going to look like. So check it out. He did a great job, and I'm really excited about those.
They look really cool. I love it. I'm going to put Wyndham's Instagram handle in our show notes. So if you like what you see and you want to follow him, just look at it. I'll put it in the show notes down there. And I've also started putting, he's great.
I mean, he's fantastic. So any needs you guys have, he can do it for real.
And I've started putting what we're talking about at each point of the show in the show notes too, just in case you guys want to know. So before we get into these games and do a little fill in the blank Friday, which is going to be really fun, Mac played big time D1 college football at Clemson. And so I'm curious, heading into a game like this, top 10 game, college game day's there, everyone's going to be watching. It's on ABC, it's on national television all over the country and all over the world. What were those Fridays like for you, Mac? So it's the day before. Take us through kind of a day in the life of a Friday before a big game like this.
Yeah, I tell you what, all Fridays are special, right? Because it's that last hurrah, it's that last day before you get to go out and, you know, just do what you love and play this great sport. But these Fridays are a little different, you know, when you have that huge opponent, especially a home game. I mean, game day's coming, the excitement, you know, people are just rolling into town. And even in this, you know, crazy COVID era, I'm sure people are still going to be out and about and around, obviously being very safe. But there's going to be a different energy around Clemson when you go to class in the morning. This is the best part, Kelly, of any Friday. Saturday, or when you're away, it's even better. But Fridays before games, you get out of class early. You have that little excuse. You say, hey, teacher, I have to go practice football. Can you please let me go? And they always say,
love
yes.
Love that.
And so you get out of class early, and then you go to the stadium. You do a walkthrough, which is, I mean, it's intense, but it's loose. You know, it's a good combination of, all right, let's be serious when we need to be serious, but let's not be too uptight. So, you know, you're just running around, having a good time. Try to be as quick as you can. You know, doing the different drills and, again, running through our script, what we want to do on the field. And then we'll come back in. We'll have a team meeting, just kind of final thoughts, make sure everybody's head's right. Then we'll go downstairs, shower, put our suits on, and we go off to the hotel. So Fridays are the best just because you get to get away from everything and all the distractions now gone. It's just you, your brothers, your coaching staff, and you have one common goal. So Fridays, unbelievably. And again, there's a lot of young guys on this Clemson team and Miami team. So I know for both teams, you know, they're going to be really excited. And some people have never played in a game that's going to have this much, this big of a magnitude, this big of a game when you're talking about number one, you know, versus number seven. And it's just, it's going to be awesome to see. I cannot wait to break down that game and just to watch it, to be quite frank.
Those Fridays sound fun. For us, it was more Saturdays heading into Sunday games or Wednesdays heading into Thursday games, just depending on the schedule. And one thing some people might not know is at Clemson, you guys go stay in a hotel even when you're playing a home game. Right. And you always go see a movie before the game.
I didn't even
right?
talk about late night. What the heck? I'm missing the whole part. Yeah, so we get dressed. We get on the bus. We go to this hotel like 20 minutes away in a, you know, a local town right beside it. So we're not in Clemson. We're out of Clemson. No distractions. And we go to a team movie, and it's just kids out on a, you know, a Friday night all together having a good time. And, you know, normally seniors get to pick the movie or that senior leadership group. And it's just, again, it's taking everything out of it. Let's just be a team for this moment. And then we come back and have one more, you know, just meeting as a group. And then it's, you're off to bed and you wake up and play. So, and it's a lot different just to slightly get into Saturday. When it's a noon game, it's crazy. You literally wake up, go eat, get dressed, and then head to the stadium. When it's those night games, man, you're just sitting around all day long.
All day.
It kind of stinks. Like younger players, like you love it, right? You love the night game. You love the environment, the experience. Old guys are like, man, this sucks. Like I have to wait all day to just go hit and be hit. It's just like, man, get me out of here. But, you know, that 3:30 window, that's about perfect for any Clemson player that I know. That's what they always say. Let's get 3:30. Let's have a little bit of time, go play, and then let's get out of here.
Interesting. So 3:30, the time preferred by most players, you would say.
By players everywhere.
Players,
I'll tell you what's not
everywhere.
Preferred. If you're in the Pac-12 right now and your first game's at 9 a.m., oh, buddy, good luck, boys.
That's
going to
be
awful.
That is absolutely brutal. Yeah, we feel for those guys. We definitely feel for those guys. All right, Mac, we have a ton of big games this weekend. We're going to start with what we're calling our big three. So we've got the two ranked versus ranked matchups, plus another game that we think is really, really important. And then we're going to also talk about the other four games for the weekend, but maybe not go as in depth. That's going to be kind of our method of operation on a Friday, just so you guys know. And we're going to break these games down. At the end, Mac's going to get a tough question. It's fill in the blank Friday. So
I don't,
Mac
I don't know
is,
this question, so I hope you don't make me stutter and pause with a hard question. It better not be a math question.
Oh, no. Won't be math, Mac. No math for Mac. Mac doesn't like math. Mac's going to have to tell me how each of these underdogs can win. So he's going to have to fill in the blank, and we'll get to it. We'll see. We'll see if Mac is feeling the underdogs today.
I can start thinking about it a little bit.
Yeah, start thinking about it. There you go. All right, our first game, noon on ABC, number 19 Virginia Tech at number 8 North Carolina. North Carolina, last I checked, a 5-point favorite in this game. This is the game that's maybe not getting as much attention as Clemson-Miami, but this is still a really, really big game for both programs. What are some of the keys that you see in this one, Mac?
Yeah, it's a huge game, Kelly. And again, really, we're going to find out quickly about both of these guys. Again, there's so much hype and excitement around Virginia Tech, and I think rightfully so. I mean, running-wise, they've been unstoppable. They've been able to do whatever they want in the run game. The offensive lines look fantastic. We were just talking last episode about Khalil Herbert and what he's able to do, which is everything and anything he wants running football. So, but I think when you look at Virginia Tech, we just need to see them improve in the passing game. I mean, if you're so one-dimensional, mm-hmm. you're very easy to beat. So you've got to be careful there and just, you know, not be able to just throw, I guess, when you want to, but when you need to throw, can you? And so that's going to be a big question mark. And again, really, this is probably going to be the best defense that Virginia Tech has gone against as well. I mean, UNC is, I think, given up like 50 yards a game rushing. So they've done really well. I mean, you look at who they played. Syracuse, they probably are a little bit more balanced. Boston College, we've seen that they have, you know, just totally got rid of the run and they're just throwing it. So it's going to be the biggest test for both of these teams, but it's going to be fun to really see who comes out on top. And then with UNC, you know, I just want to see Sam Howell get going. You know, I left him
not in your top five list, Mac.
My top five. Yeah, he was right on the brink of it just because how he's playing right now. And I think, obviously, he can shoot up that board. I think that he can easily get to number two. You know, he hasn't completed a pass of over 20 yards in the air yet. And that's just a big part of their offense. That's what they do. So I just want to see a little bit more balance from those guys. You know, they've been very heavy run. It's about 70-40 run. But again, if you can't be stopped and you have two of the best running backs in the ACC, I mean, hand them the ball. So I think when you look at both of these teams, that's kind of the baseline of what we want to see and maybe even what we expect to see from them.
I think another big factor in this one is Hendon Hooker. From what I've seen from Justin Fuente, he is, quote, a full go. Now, does that mean he starts? How much does he play? We know their offense got a lot better with Hendon Hooker. Last year, he had one of the best QBRs in the ACC. So he's a difference maker, and he can throw it more. So that's a big factor. But also, how much is it raining? You know, we've right. seen, I know the rain is going to really affect Clemson, Miami. I'm not sure how much it affects the Triangle area. And both teams love to run it. So do they try to run it a little more because of that rain? It's going to be tough, though. Hendon Hooker, very talented guy, but he hasn't played yet this year. Right. So this is a tough game to just get your feet wet.
Yeah, and I think if weather is a factor, like it could be in some other games this weekend, you know, I think you got to give the advantage to Virginia Tech. I mean, that's what they do, is they are ground and pound, and they're nasty up front and embrace it. And again, just the skill players that they have at the running back position. I mean, you talk about a trio of guys if Keshawn King gets back, that just can really be special with the ball. So if weather's a factor, you know, I think that you have to give Virginia Tech a little bit of a nod, a little bit of advantage there. And then again, you're right. If Hendon Hooker is back, I mean, I know he hasn't played yet and there's probably a little bit of rust, but I think he takes them to an absolute another level. So if he's back fully healthy, you know, he might be a little bit advantage Virginia Tech here. So it's going to be really just, again, interesting to see how these guys step up, because again, I think this is both teams' best test, and we're going to find out who's for real and who's not.
Do you see North Carolina as the favorite in this game? I know they are by Vegas.
Right. So Vegas, they are. ESPN, FBI, they're not. It's such an interesting thing. So I think it truly is almost a pick 'em, if you will, where, you know, they're just whoever you're feeling comfortable with that day. And I think a lot of that does have to do with, you know, Sam Howell's limited success so far. I think if he was hitting on all cylinders, averaging 300 plus a game, had 10 touchdowns right now, maybe that's a little lot, maybe like six or seven in two games. I just think that it would be a little bit of a different story. So I think if he can kind of have his coming out party, then you've got to feel really, really good about North Carolina and really complete team. I know some people might be scratching their head, but I think I have to lean toward North Carolina here too. I think the Hokies have really been kind of bend, don't break on defense, and they've done enough. Obviously, they lead the country in sacks average per game, right, at 6.5. They've had 13 in two games. So that could be a difference, especially when you look at how bad, you know, UNC did at protecting Sam last year. I mean, they were one of the worst in the country. So they've gotten a little bit better on that offensive line. I don't know if that'll be as big a problem. But if you're looking for a couple of little things here and there matchup-wise, I mean, you talk about Virginia Tech's pass rush, and then if they still have guys hurt in the defensive backfield, I mean, they were basically wiped out last game. But when you got a very capable quarterback and a plethora of wide receiver talent, I mean, it could get bad quick. So there's so many things. This is an absolute pick 'em this week.
It's going to be a great game. I can't wait for this one, and it's the perfect way to kind of kick off the Saturday. Let's just stick with Virginia Tech being the underdog. Give me – this is a short, quick, not one word, but just one thing. So fill in the blank Friday. Here we go. Virginia Tech can beat North Carolina if?
If they dominate in the run game.
Okay.
If they can do what they want and average 7-8 yards a clip, which they've done in the past two games, then it's going to be a long night for UNC. Because why? They're going to be able to control the ball. They're going to be able to run whatever they want on offense. It all kind of starts around – their outside zone. That's kind of their base run, is an outside zone. And if they can just hit that for 7-8 yards a clip, it's going to be a long, long night. So that's really my key, is if they can run the ball like they have, they'll win the game.
All right, Hokies, you heard it here first. Run
easy
the
to
dang
do, right? Just run
ball. Spoken from a true offensive lineman. We love it. All right, the next game, the next big game on our big three, 4 p.m. on ACC Network. We
Come
like
on.
Them. Pittsburgh at
They're
Boston College. Yeah. We're homers. We love the ACC network. All right, Pittsburgh at Boston College. Pittsburgh is a 6-point favorite in Chestnut Hill. Pittsburgh has the number one defense in the ACC, depending on metrics, but we do love their defense. Boston College's defense has picked it up. This is a battle of quarterbacks, Pittsburgh, BC. That's weird, but I love it. What are your initial thoughts on Pittsburgh, BC, Mac?
Yeah, so super weird. Both of these teams are essentially the exact same, just a year apart. I mean, we look a year ago, and we touched on this either Monday or Wednesday. We talked about how Boston College is seemingly making this crazy change, and they're just – we're used to seeing them pound the rock, run the ball 100 times a game. Now they're completely 180, and they're throwing it every other play. That's what Pitt did just a year ago. I mean, people quickly forget that, you know, I think it was 2017, maybe even 18, Pitt had two 1,000-yard rushers in their backfield. I mean, these guys thrive on running the ball. The running back lineage at Pitt is tremendous. I mean, it's
James Conner, most
players.
Recent one.
Yeah, right, most recent. So they have just fantastic guys that really run the ball, and both these teams have said, nah, don't care. We're going to throw the ball 50 times
a game.
They're
not Virginia Tech.
Right, and absolutely not Virginia Tech. So really, after being stunned, you know, last week at home, you know, Pitt traveling, I believe it's their first time on the road, so that might play a factor in it. You know, you're thinking of, man, am I going to get COVID on this plane or bus or this new environment that I'm in? You know, mentally, how is that going to affect them? But really, I expect the Pitt defense, I mean, Kelly, they're going to come out swinging, and they're going to come out mad and angry, and I think they could really take it out on these Boston College Eagles. I mean, you look how just it wasn't them a week ago. I mean, they had five false or offsides penalties, three or four of which led to first downs. I mean, it's like clear cut. We're going to stop them. We're going to make a stand. Nah, we're going to extend this, and they're going to go score a touchdown. I mean, that's all on you. And it was with the snap count. I mean, Devin Leary did a great job with that. But that wasn't them. It was very uncharacteristic penalty-wise. And even in coverage, I mean, they had three or four, you know, pass interference calls too that I thought were a little questionable, not getting too far after the refs. But, you know, I thought that some of those were really competitive plays. So I think we're going to see them come out motivated even more because we already know, I mean, that team thrives on defense. So I really expect them to come, you know, just out swinging and really – what it might come down to, because love Kenny Pickett, obviously. I think what he's been able to do, building on his performance, playing at a very high level, but you've got to establish a run game. Both of these teams, it might come down
both
to –
both of them.
Yeah, it might come down to at the end of the game, whoever can establish the run the best wins the game. That honestly might be the difference. And then, again, you look in the Boston College side, the biggest note that I have for them is you cannot be so one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of teams throughout the ACC that have – kind of becoming this one dimension. We really can run it well. We really can pass it well. You've got to do both to be elite. You can be good. You can win, you know, 6-7 games with doing one thing well. But when you run into a buzzsaw like Clemson, Miami, maybe Virginia Tech or UNC, and you can only do one thing, it's going to hurt you. So I think just from Boston College to see better offensive line play, we're going to have to just overall, especially in the pass protection. I mean, you've got a left guard who's played very well in Zion Johnson, who is now going against his toughest test. And he's had some tough ones. I mean, he started week one going against Victor Dimukeji and Chris Rump the second. So now you're going against an entire defense that's going to try to confuse you in Pitt. We know what they do on third down. It's just exotic blitz after exotic blitz. So it could get really bad. Or those guys could just step up and play at an unbelievable level. Phil Jurkovec is playing out of his mind. He looks like Big Ben. You know, Carson Palmer-ish. So I love what I've seen from him. It is. And that's what he looks like. I mean, big, strong arm, big quarterback, hard to tackle. And Hunter Long, I mean, he's been elite tight end. I think you put him top three conversation. I think it's Kyle Pitts, number one from Florida, who is just freaky. Maybe Hunter Long, number two. You know, I know Brevin Jordan is elite.
What about Brevin Jordan?
Exactly. Brevin Jordan and Hunter right now I have tied. You know, on our all ACC first team lists, I literally flipped a coin for those two guys to see who I put on first team. I think that's how good he is. And I think the most impressive thing about this whole Boston College team is really been the defense. I mean, they have grown. They have made crazy strides. And that coaching staff hasn't even had a full year. I mean, this is a couple of months over Zoom. Over what you and I, a microphone. Yeah, what you and I are doing right now, that's how they got their culture on this team, and it's been very evident. Guys have bought in. They look competent. Last year for the total defense, they were like 125 in the country. Right now, they're at 25 total defense. That's so you're talking about a 100-spot jump. Hey, the half effect at Boston College is real. And I love what we're seeing from them. So this is going to be another game where it could be a couple of things turn one way for either team, but it's going to be a close one.
All right. Fill in the blank Friday. Here we go, Mac. Boston College is the underdog. I think we both agree on that. And as does Vegas. Boston College can beat Pittsburgh if.
This is a super nah, really type thing. If they can protect Phil Jurkovec, keep him up. I'm talking about 2 sacks maximum. They'll win the game. If not, if Pitt can get back there, do whatever they want on defense, it's going to be a long night and it might be a blowout. But if they can protect their guy and let him throw, look out. You'll be right in this thing.
What was it again, Mac? A nah, really moment?
Like a nah, really? Like that's all you got? Like everybody knows that. But that's the truth. That's what this is. Nah, really?
Mac, all I ask for is the truth. That's all I want. Exactly. And whoever can establish the run, perhaps that's in there too.
Right, right. But I think that's going to be harder for Boston College against that Pitt defense. I mean, that's kind of what they do. And so that, again, you're right. I said that earlier that whoever establishes, so if Boston College can get that figured out, it'll just open up so many more things. But at the end of the day, keeping Jurkovec on his feet is going to be the tallest task I think they have throughout the day.
Love it. Fill in the blank Friday. We should tweet these out too, Mac. I think we'll tweet out our
I think it's a good idea. It should get
Fridays.
Sponsored. If you're listening and you have a ton of money you don't know what to do with, call Kelly or I, and we can get you on here. Some live reads maybe, tag
That's
you on
excellent.
This.
It'll That's excellent, Mac. Look at you. Always the salesman. Always the salesman. And follow us on Twitter too, at Eric MacLean.
That's right.
At Kelly Gramlich. Give us a follow there. All right, Mac. The game of the weekend.
We need a drum roll again.
We do. Drum roll. Hopefully you can hear that. The game of the season so far in the ACC. Maybe will be the game of the season.
I think the country, right? You can say that. I think this is definitely the game of the year.
I would say
so far.
Considering we had a top 10 Auburn, Georgia, that was the most boring thing ever. So this is probably going to be better. And OU, Texas doesn't mean anything, which is crazy. Yikes. Number 7, Miami at number 1, Clemson. Clemson's a 14-point favorite. This is 7:30 on ABC. Three Heisman hopefuls. Let me correct myself. Three Heisman hopefuls. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Derek King. The big question I have here, Mac, is does Miami have enough playmakers? Is King electrifying enough to maybe pull this upset?
Yeah, and let's start with Miami. I think that's a great point. And what I have kind of, you know, in my notes, you know, for not only our podcast, but for, you know, Saturday when we do the huddle.
Oh, yeah, watch the huddle, ACC
just,
Network.
Yeah, watch the huddle, everybody. Come on, 10 a.m., ACC Network. Coach Mark Richt is hilarious.
He is.
I'm the best-looking guy on there. But other than that, it's a fun group of guys. We have fun. But talking about Miami, I mean, get King going early and often. Get him hit. Let him settle down, get all those pregame jitters out, get all that excitement out. Let just run a quarterback power. I'm thinking play one.
Okay.
And let him feel the game. And then, you know, who knows? That might pop off. I fully expect Miami to take more advantage of the quarterback run, especially when we saw what we did, what Virginia was able to do. And, again, I fully expect Coach Venables and Clemson to make, you know, those corrections, just knowing that you had a what I call it earlier, you had kind of a bulldozer at quarterback against Virginia. This week, a Ferrari is coming in, and it's a red Ferrari. Like, it's a good-looking Ferrari.
It's not green and orange?
No. Eh, you know.
Nobody, those colors are hideous. We love you, Miami, but those
colors
are hideous.
I love you, Miami people, but that would be an ugly car. But I think you just take advantage of it. And you know, you run that quarterback power. You run some design draw plays. Just get them out in space and see what happens. So that's what I would really do if I was Miami early. You know, you want to exploit the matchup between Brevin Jordan and whoever decides to guard him. I mean, he's too big for a regular DB. He's too fast for a linebacker. So how is Clemson going to protect that middle of the field area?
That's a big question. I think that's the main question.
And safety play for Clemson has been great. It's been suspect. It's been right in the middle average. So it's a big thing that if I was Miami, I'm taking advantage of quarterback run. And in the middle, and I'm targeting it multiple times early, and I'm testing it to see, have you covered your bases leading up to this game? I think the run game is going to be very important for Miami. Can you get that going at all against a defense who is allowing less than 90 yards a game?
Have you seen significant improvement from Miami's offensive line, at least enough to give you some confidence in their running game?
No. And let me tell you why no one is talking about it, because King is so good
that
they can hide it. And those running backs are so explosive that they've been able to hide it. So that's kind of one of my –
can they hide it against
Clemson?
I want
to pay attention to this if you care about offensive line play, because it could be a big factor. Everyone should.
Everyone should.
But they should. So that's going to be a big thing. And again, they've improved enough, Kelly, to where King's not having to run around for his life 24/7. And I think that schematically play calling has also helped that offensive line to where it's calling plays to their strengths. But, you know, total improvement, it's impossible to improve that much as a lot of people would like in a year, and especially in a year where you had no summer, no spring, and a weird fall camp.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you talk about that great improvement, I don't think so. Obviously, you had a new player come in, you know, Williams at right tackle. He's long, and he's done some really good things for you. But total improvement, we'll find out. We'll tell you Monday whether they've improved or not. If they shut down Clemson's rush and can really run the ball, then I'll say I was dead wrong, and yes, they have. But, you know, so far I don't think quite yet.
So we'll break that down for you.
Yeah, exactly. And then defensively, you know, for Miami, you've got to contain Travis Etienne. You know, that's the biggest piece for Clemson. If he can be effective in the run and the pass game, it's going to be a very long night for you. So just go man coverage, load up the box, trust your athletes if you're Miami. And, again, it's not like we're challenging Trevor Lawrence to beat us, because we know that he's capable of. He can make those throws. But it's more so challenging those wide receivers who are a little bit – you know, not that they're not known, but maybe a little unproven. You know, Amari Rodgers is the guy. But everybody else, let's see if they can beat us. Let's see if they can make the big catches and make big plays, because, you know, we've seen a couple of drops from them. And just bring some exotic blitzes. Try to confuse the offensive line. They're inexperienced from a whole standpoint. You know, they've looked very good so far. But just, you know, try to confuse them. And then just weather the storm. That's my biggest thing for Miami. Might be my fill in the blank, to be quite honest, is weather the storm. You expect Clemson to score early. You expect them to get, you know, up on you. If you look up and it's 14-0, don't break down. Don't start fighting with your teammates. Like, understand, we have guys too. We can weather this and come back. So those are really my biggest things for Miami right now.
How is it different, Matt? Because you've played in Death Valley when it's just rocking in normal times, right? So from an offensive line perspective and just an offense perspective, Miami goes in there. There's only 19,000 people. How much easier will it be for them to communicate than in normal times?
Yeah, I've got to think that it's simple. I mean, just to – you're pointing out your guy. You can hear everybody. I mean, I could – at left tackle, I could hear the right tackle with that amount of people in there. I mean, so I feel like it has to be easier, which is good for any offensive lineman.
And
you know, I think we've seen that too. We've seen some offsides. We haven't seen as many false starts, just because guys can talk and you can hear the quarterback, you know, just manipulating the cadence, changing the cadence to get those guys, because they don't know the count. So I think it's a bigger deal than not, you know, being able to communicate so easy up front.
It's a good thing if you are a Miami fan. We'll see how much it helps them on Saturday night. All right, fill in the blank. Miami can beat Clemson. If
Miami can beat Clemson, if they exploit the middle of the field.
Okay.
That's going to be the biggest thing. Successfully. If they can throw
Brevin Jordan's got
to
go
deep
off.
Passes to Brevin, if they can have some big post routes, you know, to different guys in the passing game, you know, they don't really have a dude at wide receiver. They've had a bunch of guys play well and step up these last couple of games. But if you can just have somebody going over the middle, Wiggins, you know, again, on a deep post, then I think you can have really good success against Clemson. But, you know, my question for Clemson, and we kind of buzzed over them because we were talking about Miami so much, but can this be Trevor Lawrence's Heisman moment? You know, can this game – is it a game where he has to play all four quarters and he makes these amazing plays and we look back and say that was it? This is when we all knew he's the Heisman Trophy winner. Because right now he's playing like the best player in the country.
Right.
He has so much control over this offense. He's throwing guys wide open. He's allowing things to occur naturally to him. And it's just, I mean, he's playing at a whole new level. And then you've got another guy, Travis Etienne, who's gotten better. It's been wild to see the two-time ACC player of the year take another step up in his game receiving-wise. We talked about it earlier, looking like Alvin Kamara, Amari Rodgers stepping up, really being that dominant wide receiver number one. And then the defense for Clemson, you know, they're young, they're inexperienced, still trying to find who they're going to be. And really it's been a combination, I think, Kelly, of 2018, where you had just a dominant defensive line that could do anything.
Power Rangers.
Yeah, and then 2019, where you've got some guys, you put them in successful places, and you're blitzing off the edge, you're bringing weird pressure up the middle. So they're really at a you know, kind of a combination mesh where they haven't quite figured out who they are. But I'll tell you who's going to just make a massive impact, and I haven't really seen it on a national level, people talking about it, but Tyler Davis being back.
Oh, for sure.
A defensive tackle for Clemson. It's going to be massive for them. I mean, they can do so many more things. You got more bodies. Guys are fresh, rotating in. You're not relying on 2, 3, 18-year-olds to just dominate. You've got this, you know, mountain of a man in Tyler Davis, baby Dexter Lawrence, if you will, who's just a freak of nature. He was ready a week ago. He was ready against Virginia. But the coaches just said, hey, pump the brakes. We want you 100% next week. And he didn't like it. He wanted to be in there. So I think he's going to have that instant impact. And just totally for Clemson, you've got to contain King and you've got to cover the middle of the field well. Those are the keys on defense to win the game for you guys.
All right, Mac, let's finish it up. It's time for our speed round. I feel like we need some effects. Speed round.
Dun, 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 dun.
The last four games of the day, let's run through them quickly. Just give me your quick thoughts on these. And it's not like we don't love these teams, but we really wanted to dive in on these big three games of the weekend. So 7 p.m. tonight, Friday night on ESPN.
Come on.
Louisville at Georgia Tech. Louisville's a 4.5-point favorite.
The biggest thing for Louisville is you have to take advantage of Georgia Tech turning the ball over. You know, they're going to give it to you. They've got a young freshman. And really, both of these teams started off so promising, right? And now they're 0-4 collectively together. So if I'm Louisville, I'm trusting my offense. I'm trusting that explosion that I have, and I'm trying to force turnovers.
I agree completely on that. All right, next one, noon on ACC Network, NC State at Virginia. Virginia's an 8.5-point favorite last I saw, which seems like a lot. What are your keys here?
It does. It absolutely does. And for me, it's just to see from Virginia, can we continue to be special on defense? You know, one guy I want to see step up just to make more impactful plays is Noah Taylor. You know, he's a great player, and right now he has 13 tackles, a sack and a half. So that's good numbers. But he's not popping off the screen to me right now. And he's too good, too elite, not to. So I want to see more, you know, from him when it matters. And then for NC State, can Devin Leary be the guy? Can he be consistent? Can he put three solid performances in a row? Because that's going to be the biggest key for us is if he can drive that train, then you've got to feel really good if you're NC State.
Duke at Syracuse, 12:30 on ESPN3. Duke is a 2.5-point favorite. What do you see here?
This game.
You just hurt got my so soul sad.
To watch this game.
Well, it's on ESPN3, so.
Everybody, both of these teams have given up more sacks this year than the entire country combined. I'm just kidding. But it feels that way, right?
I believed you.
You know, right. Yeah, you know, fact checking. CNN, they're saying I'm wrong. I'm lying. But with Duke, I mean, you got to be happy a little bit. Silver lining, you showed real promise in the second half against Virginia Tech. Your offense found a little bit of its identity. Let's pound the ball. Let's be ground and pound and pass when we need to. So my biggest
turn it over.
Right. Please don't turn it over. You lead the country in sacks and turnovers. Don't do it. But the biggest thing for Duke is just get more wide receivers involved, understand what you do well. And really, I expect your defensive line to take full advantage of this game, especially against a struggling Syracuse. Syracuse, you know, what are we going to see? What offense are we going to see take the field? You know, consistency hasn't been their friend. Run game looked pretty good last week. We had good balance. But again, that offensive line is still a huge concern. You're giving up 15 sacks already. But silver lining for Cuse, you lead the country in interceptions. Duke fans, close your eyes, close your ears. They lead the country with 7 picks. So it could get really bad. Either way, it's just you don't know. There's so much shiny on both these teams, but so much bad to go with it. So, you know, I have no clue with this game. I really don't.
If you're listening while driving, please open your eyes. You can close your ears, but please reopen your eyes. Okay. Final game of the podcast today, Mac. Florida State at number 5, Notre Dame. This would have been a great game in another world, but it's 2020 and it's not. Notre Dame minus 20.5, 7:30 p.m. on NBC.
The fighting EJ Manuels versus the fighting Jordan Cornettes.
Oh,
let's
man.
Go. The Huddle Boys. I better see some crazy trash talk.
And you versus Saturday Coach morning. Rick.
Exactly. And Coach Rick. They were all there. And I beat both of them a lot, except for Florida State. I was kind of 50-50 with those guys. But, you know, I think this game is going to be total domination. Notre Dame is just going to roll. We saw some question marks. FSU guys not practicing hard this week. You never want to see that, especially when you're playing the number 5 team in the country. With Notre Dame, though, what I need to see is more weapons emerge, similar to Duke, where they have great tight ends, great running backs involved in the passing game. If you look at Ian Book's top 7 pass catchers, 5 or 6 of them are tight ends and running backs. You're not going to be able to beat elite teams mm-hmm. with that lack of production on the outside. So for them, I've got to see more from that. I've got to see Book making dynamic plays downfield, using his legs to pick up big plays. And really, just in total, I'm interested to see how Notre Dame fares with such a long time off. I mean, it seems like I haven't talked about Notre Dame on the ACC network for a month, that they've just been off. So see what we're going to, you know, get from them. FSU, if you don't play up to your competition, you're going to get blown out for the second time in 3 weeks. So you've got to have great effort, got to have great intensity and execution, because it's going to be tough.
Mac's trying to tell you, Florida State. He's trying to tell you. I need Ian Book to look less like a textbook and more like a bestseller. That's what I need, Mac.
That's right.
That is what I need. Oh, man, this was fun. Gosh. This was a lot of fun.
Week one. Guys, week one.
Week one of our show.
In the books.
What is it, week 5 of ACC football? Right.
Don't worry
Thanks
about
for tuning
that.
In.
Just focus on us.
Exactly. Rate, review, subscribe, Absolutely. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can get at us. We will be on Twitter all weekend if you want to talk, if you want to, interact. We are down, and we appreciate you guys listening. It's going to be a really fun weekend in the ACC.
No doubt. Until next time, we'll see y'all.